Right now, though, we're going to hear from Catherine Casey of Adapt Kerry Women's Refuge. They have a big year to come. They're in putting in planning permission for an extension to the refuge in Tralee, multi-million euro extension, which is much needed because, again, this year, they had an increase in demand for their services. I spoke to Catherine Casey, manager of Adapt.
I suppose it's been a busy and an interesting year, Gerry, really. Thank you for talking to me again. 508 women have made contact with us this year so far, seeking support, Gerry, which is, you know, every year we seem to be getting more and more, but every year we have another bit of staff too, so they coincide as well. But 508 women that are impacted by domestic abuse or coercive control, most of whom are from Kerry, have reached out to us this year. We had 51 admissions to the refuge so far, and 69 children have stayed with us so far this year. So that's busy. On 155 occasions, we were full and unable to accommodate people when they rang. So obviously, as you said, we're working on that, Gerry. We are at the stage now with the refuge development plan that we are seeking a pre-planning meeting with Kerry County Council, which we hope to have very early in the new year, and that will allow us to progress to planning permission stage then. So it's moving. It's been well supported by Kerry County Council and the Department of Housing and the Housing Agency and Coon. So there's a lot of actors involved in that, and it is really trying to respond to the level of the amount of women that we can't accommodate. Now, between 90 and 95% of the women that we meet never come into refuge, which is very interesting as well. Some of that is because we don't have the space for them, but also we offer outreach supports to women who may not need refuge, but want to meet with a support worker or our outreach workers and maybe get help or advice around, you know, what's the housing. How do you apply for a house? What are my options look like? If I'm thinking of leaving this, what's a safety order? What's a protection order? How do you go about getting these? So we've accompanied a lot of women, 203 women to court. Our outreach workers have been in court 203 times this year with women. Some of that is around orders, some of it's further down the road, and it's support on the day, maybe where there's maintenance or custody or those issues up before the court as well.
Go on, Catherine.
So we have a play therapist on staff now, as you know, and our legal advocacy workers continue to support women. So 128 women have been supported directly by the legal advocacy worker, which is a good piece of work. And we've had some barristers give their time in lieu or, you know, for free this year and helped us out with wills clinics for women as well as you know, we can maybe get a short appointment with somebody while they're waiting to find their own solicitor or they're making applications for legal aid. And a lot of women don't qualify for legal aid because of the low threshold at the moment. And there's a big jump really between securing legal aid or having to pay private. So we try to support women in that space as well. But our centre for healing from coercive control in Killarney is going well. Our play therapist is based there. We're continuing with the All My Life support group. We run two programmes a year in that. And that's a support group for, you know, where 12 women come into, or sorry, at least 12 women come into the group and commit to a 12-week programme. And the feedback from that's been incredible. And I suppose it's helped us to look at, we know now that domestic violence and coercive control, it isn't just crisis intervention that we're working in, it is the space that we're working in. It's also about the long-term well-being of women and children as they negotiate safe journeys, I suppose, out of domestic violence. For some of our clients, they decide to stay, but maybe they stay with an order, but we help negotiate that space. So we would never be directive, Gerry. We would work with people where they're at. It can be a very dangerous time for people, but we have to respect that women are the experts in their own lives when it comes to coercive control and domestic violence.
Yeah, indeed. And you mentioned there the 155 times that you weren't able to accommodate somebody.
Yeah.
With the work that's being done on the extensions, when that comes through, do you hope to reduce that number?
Absolutely.
Or be in a situation where you're able to offer more times for more people because you'll have more space?
Yes, and that the move on would be quicker. We'd have more spaces for respite. I suppose that's the difference we see now between before COVID and after COVID. And because of the housing crisis, we might have had women who would have accessed support for a night or two or a week or two. And it was just part of their ongoing safety plan, I suppose. Whereas what's happening now is that women are coming into refuge. If they're moving on to independent accommodation, whatever that might look like, that takes so much more time now than it used to. What could have taken, 6 or 8 weeks, 10 weeks at one stage could take 10 months now. And that obviously has a knock-on effect. But private rented accommodation is very difficult to get, and especially if you're reliant on housing assistance to get that. I suppose we're working from a position, Gerry, that once you're in, you're in, and we have to commit to supporting you as far down that line as we can. And I think we need to understand, and what I learned, I suppose I got the vocabulary around this year as well. There is an excellent professor there, Jane Monckton-Smith, and she's developed what's called the homicide timeline, and it looks at coercive control. And it is that piece of work around we need to support women that they, if they want to leave the relationship, that they get supported in doing that, because having to return to the house, because if the only reason you're returning is because you can't move on, you could actually be in a more dangerous position. Because if your partner knows that the only reason you're there or returning is because there's nowhere else to go, it doesn't heal anything in the relationship. It actually makes the relationship much more dangerous for the woman, and it might impede her from reaching out for support again. So, and we've learned a lot this year about chronic fear and women living with chronic fear. And not just, not just the fear that we all experience, and it might be a feeling and it goes, but women are living with chronic fear because we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, complex trauma. That people are experiencing because of long-term, a pattern of controlled behaviour that can go on for years. Yeah,
and that is part of it. And we've seen a number of high-profile cases this year again, which have raised these issues for a lot of women out there and a lot of people suffering domestic violence. Catherine, we've seen in particular someone who's been very strong has come out is Sinn Féin MEP Catherine Function, who talked about her partner being sentenced under COCO's law, and she's been encouraging more support for your sort of services, but also encouraging women to come forward.
Yes, yeah, and she would have actually linked in with a number of the refuges, and she would have visited Adapt Kerry during the year as well. I know I attended a conference in Limerick there in the last few weeks as well, run by Kathleen, and it is, I suppose, the amount of women that were even there that day that were talking about their experiences. And I think that's what's new in the sector, Gerry, or what's different. What I'm hearing, I suppose, after doing this work for so many years now, is that we seem to be hearing more survivors speaking out, and I think they're being encouraged to speak out because of, very brave women that are coming forward and telling their stories. Or we see every night on the news that, people are choosing to speak out and be known. And I think that helps tackle the silence and, the shame or the stigma that people might have felt before around the issue. I think we're beginning to place the responsibility for this behaviour with the person who's doing the bad behaviour, with the abusers and the perpetrators. So as we build our understanding of what coercive control is and what domestic violence is and how it happens and why it happens, we learn to listen to the voices that come forward then as well.
Yeah, certainly is the case. You mentioned there that homicide timeline that's been developed by the professor. How important is that, or understanding of that? Because we've still seen, like, I think it was back in February of this year, we had Deputy Ruth Coppinger talking to Dáil about in 1 8-week period, there was 6 women murdered by men in this country, and she was calling for action and more work and more support for the kind of services that ye and other organisations provide. Catherine, and you mentioned there that that element of the danger period for women. Is it a question if ye can do more in protecting them with legal advice and exit from those situations and, you know, all the supports you talked about at the start of the interview, that that will hopefully help prevent this scourge of homicide, women being killed by men?
Yes, I mean, we certainly play a part in people's safety plans. And having space is a very important piece of that jigsaw. It's not the full solution. And I think ADAPT, as well as anybody else, needs to place the blame for murders and violence on the people who are committing the murders and the violence. What's interesting about Jean Monckton Smith's research is that she not only talks about the homicides that we know about, because she reviews these homicides, but she is also speaking about the hidden homicides. So what about the cases that aren't picked up as homicides, but we know because of they might be seen as a suicide, or they might be seen as they're not named as the effect of long-term abuse, and that's the cause of death. So yeah, she is also doing a nice bit of research on hidden homicides. And we're actually hoping to have her over in March and hold a conference here in Kerry. So we're just kind of picking the dates and arranging flights and that. So that'll be very exciting, because we have a couple of big groups now, stakeholders in Kerry, working with ADAPT and looking at this issue. One is the Together Project, which is kind of, I suppose, key stakeholders like the guards and the courts and the council and the hospital working with us on that. And also we have a community of stakeholders around the TLC Kids Project, which is a project that we'll be rolling out for children who have are 2 years out of the abusive situation. So it's it's like personal development for children, but it's specifically around domestic violence and coercive control. And we had 50 agencies in the room in Killarney in the last couple of months, very interested in that program. So we would have plenty of people for Jean to talk to when she gets here. But her research is new and very interesting. And I suppose it's showing that this issue is very deep. And so we would say, Jerry, that, like, I don't work with broken women. I work with women who are trying to navigate broken systems that are meant to protect, but they don't protect fully. And we can maybe support women in navigating those systems, because sometimes, you know, court clerks and courts are new areas for women, but so are filling out medical card applications.
Full range of everything, children's supports, the play therapy, all those things that you need to consider to try and help when you're trying to get out of and through and beyond a traumatic situation.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I suppose, ducks to put in a row to get exit safely. I used to work I worked with a woman in Mallow, and she worked as a tenancy sustainment officer. And so she used to help people who had like notices to quit. And she would say the difference between a domestic violence client that she would have or another client who just got a notice to quit is that the people with the notice to quit have like 3 months notice that they're going to lose their home, but a woman experiencing domestic violence has a house in the morning and she's homeless in the evening. That's where why refuge is important, because we need to provide a safe space for women and families to go to, but we also need to provide step on and move on from that. And I suppose that's the piece we're trying to advocate now, both nationally and locally, in creating softer landings for women and children as they try and make their way out
or
make
their lives. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well look, Catherine, thanks very much for giving me an overview of the brilliant work that's going on, and fingers crossed now for the planning process for the new extension in 2025. But thanks for talking to me this morning,
Jerry. Can I wish everyone happy Christmas, but to thank all our donors and funders. People are very good. Even it's very exciting at the moment as we're getting donations of toys and vouchers. And I mean, it really helps keep the show on the road. It makes such a difference for people. And people are very good with supporting the charity shop as well. So just taking the opportunity really now to say thank you to the people of Kerry for their continued support. And it is really appreciated.
Okay, Catherine, thanks so much for talking to me this morning.
Thanks, Jim.
That's Catherine Casey of ADAPT and the services that they have developing and are continuing to develop for women who need that help and people who need that support and families who need that support, especially at Christmas time, but right throughout the year.